Ave and welcome to Emperors of Rome, a podcast about the rulers of the ancient Roman Empire. I'm your host Matt Smith, and with me as always is Dr. Rhiannon Evans, a lecturer in ancient Mediterranean studies at La Trobe University. Before we delve proper into Rome's civil war and the Flavian dynasty, we now take a moment to tell you about the sources we'll be using and the books you could track down if you want to do some additional reading. Here's Rhiannon Evans.
When we look at the Flavians, we've still got the biographies of Suetonius to depend upon. So we've been looking at him all the way along. He gave us biographies of all the Julio-Claudian emperors. Then we had the Year of the Four Emperors, and he gives us a biography even for those very short-lived emperors. And he's going to complete his series of biographies with the Flavians. So that is Vespasian, Titus, and Domitian. Apart from that, things do start to get a little bit patchy in some ways. We don't have as much narrative history. So we don't have something like Tacitus's Annals, which even though it's fragmentary, we have a lot of narrative about people like Tiberius. Tacitus, in fact, did write a history that went all the way to the end of the Flavians. It's called the Histories, and we've mentioned it before when we were looking at the Year of the Four Emperors, and that's because all we've got of it is the beginning of that civil war, and then it dies out in Book 5, and we don't have the rest of the Flavians. We have a little bit of the beginning. That would be really nice to have more of Tacitus's histories.
Right. So specifically, Tacitus covers up to what? Are we talking Vespasian?
Very, very early.
Vespasian.
We're still in the conflict of 69.
Okay. Yeah.
So no, he doesn't get into that
Vitellius.
Dynasty.
Vitellius?
Yeah. He does talk about the last Flavian emperor, Domitian, in his short biography, Agricola. And he's incredibly scathing about him. And he can do that because by that point, Domitian's dead and gone. And he writes it just after that in 96. And he's really angry. He's angry about all the terrible things that have happened under Domitian. So when we get to talking about Domitian, we'll see why Domitian was a very unpopular emperor. And Tacitus feels that he has really stymied writing. So people couldn't write in the latter days of the Flavians, at least as Tacitus presents it to us. Certainly they couldn't write biographies. And he says the reason for that is that Domitian would have been jealous. If you'd written a biography praising somebody, then Domitian would have tried to get rid of you or that person because he didn't want other people to be praised. And it was too dangerous to write about the emperor himself because you might offend him in some way. And there's a lot of censorship, according to Tacitus, a lot of self-censorship. So that may be true. Tacitus has a very partial view, as we've already seen. But he certainly claims that the reason that we don't have a lot of sources that are written during that time is that people were scared to write.
But there are other sources out there besides these two, isn't there? There's going to be letters, maybe from Pliny the Younger.
There are. They're generally written a little bit later. Most of the writing we have about this period comes from a little bit later. So that's true of Pliny the Younger. He was writing some letters under the Flavians, but generally the later period and during the couple of emperors that followed. And he's very scathing about Domitian too, in retrospect. We also have Pliny the Elder writing during this time. So Pliny the Elder dies 10 years into the Flavian rule. But he dedicated his massive natural history to Titus, who's the second Flavian emperor. He seems to have had very strong links with the Flavian dynasty. And this is probably because the Flavians, as we'll see, didn't come from the traditional aristocratic circles. In fact, they weren't senatorial. They were from the next band down, which is the equestrians, the equites. And Pliny is also from that kind of background. So this is kind of the rise of the second tier of Roman society. They hang on to the people they knew previously, the provincials and equestrians who are part of their circle. We've also got, I should mention, the later source that we've had all the way along, which is the Greek history of Dio Cassius, who's writing in the 3rd century, so we can rely on him to tell the history of this period. It's always so much later that we'd like to have earlier sources, but he gives us a narrative source.
What about some more modern sources if people want to do some readings about the Flavian era?
There are modern biographies of the emperors, especially of Vespasian and Domitian, who last a lot longer. Poor Titus is only emperor for 2 years. There's a really good scholar called Barbara Levick, who has written a book on Vespasian. It's called The Emperor Vespasian, which really assesses all of the sources and looks at his life and how he is this emperor who sort of comes from nowhere. He's not from the expected background. So because he's the first one to come from a purely military background, that's a really interesting investigation. Much more controversial emperor, the last Flavian, Domitian, has a good biography by actually an Australian scholar called Brian Jones, called The Emperor Domitian, which really tries to make Domitian not look as malevolent as he's often presented in the ancient sources. That's fair enough, because people like Tacitus really tear him to shreds. And Brian Jones tries to look at why Domitian might have had this reputation and tries to redress the balance. So that's an interesting study in itself. Some people think that he goes too far the other way. But it's worth looking at that with these emperors who are so unpopular, as to who they've offended. Why have they, do they have this evil reputation? And we saw much the same with Caligula and Nero. And there's also a good commentary, I like a good commentary myself, I don't know if other people do, on the Suetonius biographies of these three emperors, which is again by Brian Jones with his colleague Robert Milnes, which is called Suetonius and the Flavian Emperors. So if you're reading Suetonius and you want a bit more help with that, those commentaries are a good place to go. And they'll also tell you things like the Latin word that's used here is this. And interestingly, Suetonius also used it about Nero or something like that. So it gives you a little more insight. Even if you can't read the Latin, those commentaries will help you with the background there.
You've also got there a rather hefty tome.
I do. It's called Flavian Rome Culture Image Text, edited by A.J. Boyle and W.J. Dominic, which I almost hesitate to mention because I'm in it. It's a collection and it is really hefty. If you wanted to do some damage to someone with this book, you could. It's got a lot of really important scholars in there. I don't include myself amongst them, but people who have, you know, long been working on the Flavian period, or people who are very good classical scholars, they've brought them together to think about the Flavian period. It came out in 2003. And really, until that period, not that many people had studied Flavian culture. There are lots of articles, but an actual book, a collection on the Flavians, wasn't something that you'd see every day, because the Flavians just weren't that cool back in the 20th century. The literature that comes out in that period was often seen as sidelined. Certainly, I never studied it as an undergraduate. It's only more recently that we've started to reassess that and to see interesting patterns in it, interesting commentary on the historical and political situation. So this is important just because nobody has done this before. So it's a good book to look at if you want a bit more.
And what's your contribution to that covering?
I looked at the way that the Flavians engaged with empire, specifically the further invasion of Britannia, particularly at Tacitus, whose work, The Agricola, which I've already mentioned, that's the one that has a go at Domitian, is primarily about the invasion of Britain. Britain had already been invaded and was a colony, but under Tacitus's father-in-law, Agricola, that colony was far extended up into Scotland. And Tacitus writes about it in a very interesting way. So this is one of our foremost texts in terms of looking at the way the province of Britannia was constructed in the Roman mind. And in fact, he describes the first circumnavigation of Britain by Roman sailors. So that's the first time they know it's actually an island. Mm. So it's a fascinating text.
That's Dr. Rhiannon Evans, lecturer in Ancient Mediterranean Studies at La Trobe University. And you've been listening to Emperors of Rome. If you like this podcast, you can find it on iTunes, where you can subscribe, leave a review, and tell your friends about it. Emperors of Rome has a Facebook page, and you can follow both myself and Rhiannon on Twitter. Rhiannon is at Dr. Rhiannon Evans, and I'm at Nightlight Guy. The next episode of Emperors of Rome, I promise this time, the Emperor Galba. Until then, I'm Matt Smith. You've been fantastic, and thanks for listening.